I'm joined by Khalid Salah, executive member of the opposition Syrian National Council. Khalid, next week the SNC is meeting in Doha for some form of sort of restructuring conference. Can you give us a bit of a preview of what's going to happen?
Sure. So over the last 4 months, we have been working through a restructuring process. We've all heard the calls from the international community that the Syrian opposition is not united. Also, the makeup, really, of the Syrian opposition, the grassroots movements on the ground, continues to evolve as the revolution continues. So we went through this restructuring process where we tried to do a couple of things. In the first point, we tried to add new groups to the SNC. Those groups are one of three different types. We added political groups as long as they show that they've actually had some political influence, they've had political activity within the last period. We've added grassroots movements. As I mentioned, grassroots movements continue to evolve as the revolution evolves. Thirdly, we've added civil society groups as well. Those have always been a great supporter of the revolution, helped provide relief, financial support to the revolution. So we were keen on adding some of these groups. The second aspect to the restructuring, the initial period while the SNC operated, it really relied on consensus to come to a decision in any of its in its processes. We've changed that. We're moving to a democratic election-based process. So as we expand, we add new members to the SNC. We're also going to change the general secretariat. We're also going to be changing the executive office. We're going to allow everybody to have a chance to enter either of those levels of the SNC through an election process.
And are you changing the your political stance at all? Yesterday, your leader, Abdelbaset Seydo, said that the organization was no longer opposed to members of the regime playing a part in a transition government as long as they were not involved in killings. Is that right?
Well, no, the exact translation, I think the words changed a little bit. He said, we will consider, I think he was asked a specific question about Farouk Asharah, the vice president. And what Abdelbaset Seydo said, we will consider Farouk Asharah as a possible alternative. We are open to all solutions as long as they've joined the revolution from its first days. I think that's probably a much more accurate translation. We have not changed our political stance. We've always considered all possible political solutions that will stop the bloodshed in Syria. We're very eager to find a real solution. But the reality that we are facing is that Assad have actually increased his killing. So while we are considering political solutions, we don't think that Assad would even entertain the idea of Farouk Asharah stepping in and leading the country. The other thing, and what's extremely important for us to emphasize, is at the end, any political solution must be accepted by the grassroots movements which have led the revolution over the last 18, 19 months. It's obvious to us, just from a brief reading, and I can talk on behalf of the grassroots movements because I represent them also in the General Secretariat and the Executive Office, that Farouk Asharah is not really an acceptable personality to many, I can't really say all, but to many people on the streets. We've shed blood, and we've sacrificed tremendously to allow somebody such as Farouk Asharah to come in.
Who would represent a potential compromise figure?
At this point, we're looking at an idea of a transitional government that's going to be formed through different groups from the opposition, the SNC, other groups within the opposition. There are discussions of having an opposition meeting in Doha. This is not confirmed yet, but there's a discussion of having it just right after the General Assembly meeting for the SNC. It's possible, after a dialogue with other opposition groups, that we might come to an agreement who can lead the transitional period. The reality of it, finding the right person, finding a compromise figure, I think is possible. However, in order for us to come to a compromise, two parties have to come to the table. And we have accepted all proposals that have been put on the table, from the Arab League to Kofi Annan's mission to even Akhbar al-Ibrahimi. We're accepting all these initiatives, and Assad, while he claims that he accepts them, he turns around and kills 200 to 300 people per day. So his actions on the ground say otherwise.
Is your attitude to the and relationship to the Free Syrian Army changing in any way?
Well, a major development took place last week with the announcement of the joint leadership for the military council. This is basically, the military council's been in existence now for about 8 or 9 months. A small group of us worked on actually creating those military councils in the different provinces of Syria. And we managed to bring those military councils in a joint leadership. The SNC coordinates tremendously with those military councils. Really what's different about the military councils as opposed to the leadership of the SSA that's outside of the country is that these military councils actually exist on the ground. They coordinate and manage the operations of the different units of the SSA. So I think they actually, when they give a promise, when they plan something, they are actually able to carry it out. Like I mentioned, the effort to bring the military councils together and the joint military leadership was actually coordinated by members of the SNC as well as the other members from those military councils. So we're coordinating with them. There is constant level of communication with them. So I think things are improving tremendously in terms of that.
Overnight, there was an attack on an intelligence base northeast of Damascus in Harasta, which the Islamist group, the Al-Nusra Front, has claimed responsibility for. Is a suicide bombing something that you condemn?
The reality that we have to face is that Syrian people are having to defend themselves in the most primitive ways. We're facing the latest Russian megs at this point. They're using very, unfortunately, the Syrian army is using many very innovative ways to kill its people. I personally do not like suicide bombings because there's always civilian population that will be impacted. So we're trying to coordinate with the different FSA units to try as much as possible to avoid carrying out suicide operations. At the same time, when somebody's getting killed day in, day out, when somebody sees his father, mother, children getting killed, it's difficult for me teaching outside the country to tell them, this is okay, this is not. We try and communicate with them. But at the end, the leadership on the ground is having to make very, very tough decisions.
Are you communicating with the Al-Nusra Front also?
We do not communicate with Al-Nusra Front. As you're probably aware, they're very they do exist on the ground. They've carried out some successful operations. They usually, from the information that I have, they are very keen on avoiding civilian operations. But we do not communicate with them directly.
And just finally, NATO has said today that it will defend Turkey for any more mortar attacks. No one's expecting them to do so. How do you regard the kind of cross-border tensions with Turkey? Is that a sideshow that's diverting attention from Syria?
The reality of it, Turkey is able to defend itself. I think Turkey just needs some sort of an international community to tell it we are behind you. A small gesture from NATO would give Turkey all it needs. When the attacks by the Assad forces, when they bombed the Turkish side, killed 5 people in Turkey, the Turkish response was quick and it was very firm. They really took out many of the Assad forces that existed in Tel Abyad. I hope that Turkey can act swiftly. The Syrian forces continue. I think it's unintentional because they're not well armed, or they don't have the experience. They continue to shell the Turkish side, and Turkey responds. The question is whether Turkey wants to take the conflict with the Assad regime to the next level, and really maybe create even a buffer zone by doing so.
And how important is a buffer zone to the Syrian National Council and the Free Syrian Army?
Can you repeat the question?
How important would a buffer zone be to the rebel groups?
I think it'll be of great importance. We've asked for buffer zones since March of this year. And of course, the grassroots movement have asked for them for many months before then. I think a buffer zone will escalate and then speed up the process of the regime falling down. Will allow more people to defect. Defections are, of course, have increased tremendously. They remind us of the days during the Muammar Gaddafi's regime, when people were defecting left and right, and hundreds of people are defecting every day. We believe that a buffer zone at this point, a buffer zone that's protected, which includes a no-fly zone, would actually probably triple, if not quadruple, the number of defections, which really speed up the process of ending the regime.
The New York Times this week was reporting that defections are drying up.
One of the things that we know over the last three, four weeks is that the Syrian regime has reached a point where it does not push its ground forces to any of the cities. Every time they've pushed them basically those people defected. While we focused on in the early days of the revolution, we focused tremendously on the number of defections and having people, you know, pull out their IDs and saying, I defect. We've reached a point where there's just tens of thousands of people who have joined the FSA, and really there isn't as much emphasis on the defections. But if you look at the actual situation on the ground, I think you'll find the report completely inaccurate.
There are reports that the Syrian army is moving into Homs. Ground troops are involved in that case. Are you concerned for that Homs is about to fall?
There's definitely major concerns. Homs, of course, has been under siege since July. We're getting over 100 days at this point. Electricity, communication, food has been cut off, except with small supply lines. They're not able to really sustain the city. We know that the Syrian army is making a final push, and I don't know if they've announced that they will make the final push many, many times over the last few months, but the reality of it is that the FSA units that are on the ground are suffering from the fact that they don't have enough ammunition. But even with that, they're still able to push back the FSA forces. They've lost four positions in Al-Khadidiyah a couple of days ago. They managed to seize two of them yesterday. So I still think while Trump is in danger of falling in the hands of the regime, I still think that the guys who are fighting on the ground will put up a huge battle before allowing that to happen.
Okay, Khaled. Thanks very much for spending so much of your time. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.